hacking, waitressing, twin babies, and crisscross applesauce. We read Calculated Risk. Welcome to Harlequin Bromance.
What's up, party people? Welcome to Harlequin Bromance, the podcast that reads trashy romance novels so you don't have to. Here with me, as always, is my fellow bromance in the stone, Mark. What's up, Mark?
What up, dude?
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
What you drinking on?
Some of Athens' finest, is Tropicalia.
Sounds good. I think that's what I got, too. Back again is our good friend to the show, and according to everybody, all five people who has listened to the last one, the funniest element of the show, here again is Liz. What's up, Liz?
Hey there.
You gotta say it a little louder.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Meet me in the eyes. Look at me. Hey there.
Hey there. We read Calculated Risk by Janie Crouch. It is a Harlequin intrigue. And despite it actually being a Harlequin novel, there was no sex. Did you notice that, Mark?
Yes, none.
Yeah, there was an absolute devoidness of intercourse. And I was a little disappointed.
Found some new ways to describe lips, though.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of kissing.
Lots of lip action, lots of eye action, sexy eye action.
And there was some snuggling. Yes. There was some cuddling and snuggling.
Yes, yeah. Babies in this book.
Yep, hey, let's not get too far ahead. Okay. There are some babies, but not the main characters. Anyway, all right, so let's actually talk about who these characters are, because I guarantee you the five people who are listening to this didn't read this silly book.
It may be six.
Yeah, they might have moved up to six. We'll find out. So this is Calculated Risk. It starts off with Bree, right?
Should we go through the cast of characters?
Yeah, let's go through the cast. All right, so we got
beginning of the book.
Bree.
That was very helpful.
Cast of characters.
Oh, there is a cast of characters.
Yeah, page one. Tanner Dempsey, deputy captain of the sheriff's office in Grand County, Colorado, who lives and works in my favorite town name of all time, Risk Peak. Love that name. Wouldn't you like to go to a place called Risk Peak?
I'm curious if it's an actual real place.
No, it's not. I Googled it. And it's definitely not a real place.
Well, but see, I'm glad I didn't read the cast of characters, because then it says Bree Daniels, computer genius on the run from the organization, the terrorist group that funnels information.
Oh, the cast of characters some of the pretty much set up the tone of this whole story. As soon as I read the cast of characters, I was like, this is going to be a real doozy. And it is.
All right. So we have Bree Daniels, Tanner Dempsey, Melissa Weather. I'll be honest, I didn't know her last name the entire book either.
Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah, Melly. She goes by Melly.
She's dumb.
She's aggravating. That's Bree's cousin, desperately in need of Bree's help. Bree.
Oh, she's always desperately in need of something. She knows how to bathe them in those churches, though.
You got Ronnie Kitchens, the sheriff's deputy.
Why is Ronnie in here? And oh, wait, Scott is in here too.
Michael Jeter.
Don't care about him. Oh yeah,
he's the evil. He's the head. Yeah, he's Derek Jeter's dad.
Head of the organization and the public face of Communication for All charity group.
Again, I'm glad I didn't read all this, because like.
Oh, you know, I love it. The organization, a terrorist group. We're just the organization, guys.
I love that the terrorist group has a charity front to it. Anyway. Yeah. Cheryl and Dan Andrews, they own the best little diner in all of Risk Peak, Sunset Diner. Then there's Scott Watson, the chunky
middle
member
schooler
of Sheriff's.
Chubby middle schooler. They kept calling him a
chubby middle schooler.
Yeah, he looks
like a chubby middle schooler.
I was like, what the fuck? He's probably like 30-something years old.
So a member of Sheriff's Office Inter-County Task Force on Communication temporarily stationed in Risk Peak. And then there's Bill Steele.
My favorite name of all time.
Liz's favorite character, Bill Steele.
A construction worker, no less.
Yeah, he's a construction worker.
I love this cast of character. I just knew that this book was going to
blow. He's creepy thin man, you'll find out later. Mark, who was your favorite character?
Oof. That's a hard one. They all were bad.
I'm going to go with Tanner.
Mm. Like, ooh, yeah, the cowboy hat wearing sheriff.
Strong.
Of Risk Peak.
You know, I was a man's man.
He always needed a shave. We find out later. All right.
That he did.
So.
You don't want to know who my favorite character
is? No,
was?
I don't care. Who is it?
God. I hated them all.
You didn't like Tanner in this one?
I did not care for this book at all.
He didn't do it for you like Simon
did in the
last
one? There was no Brenda, no Queen Elizabeth in this book.
Yeah.
It's just boring.
It does not take place in Scotland like the last one.
It's hella boring.
There's no lairds.
I guess the mountains were my favorite character.
Okay.
I'm going to go with them.
I can go with that.
They sounded lovely.
So another critique I got from a lady named Miss Beverly. She said, Liz, you shouldn't use the F word so much.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mom. My bad. We'll just edit that one out, right?
Yes, or anyway. No. All right, so those are the characters, mostly to do with Bree and Tanner. Excuse me.
Bree and Tanner.
Bree and Tanner.
They got so much chemistry, guys. Got that chemistry.
Yeah, it's
hot.
A bunch of kissing. Mm. So Bree
of the face
lives in
book.
Kansas City, and later you'll find out she thinks it really sucks. Because it doesn't compare to Colorado. Anyway.
Well, like, as soon as you meet her, she's like, oh, my God, I knock on the door. And so as soon as anybody knocks on the door, she's like, she's got her bug out bag,
yeah,
which I agree with. I think everybody should have a bug out bag.
Right. What's in your bug out bag?
You've got to have, like, that aluminum foil blanket. So if you have to sleep outside when it's cold,
yes,
you need that.
The thermal blanket.
Yeah, a weapon of some sort, mm-hmm. probably, like some water. That's probably enough.
What about a gun?
Yeah, a weapon of some sort.
Oh, a gun, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a gun.
Mark, what's in your...
Maybe like a bug knife.
What's in your B.O.B.?
Probably some rope.
Some rope?
Cell phone charger.
Need some matches, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a flare gun, maybe?
Yeah, flare gun, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a bug out bag. Well, slingshot. If you're running from the organization, you probably don't want to send up flares.
No.
No.
Yeah.
That's true. Or have a cell phone.
But if you're cornered, though, and that's your only method of defense.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Yeah, well, just get a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're allowed to have a cheap flip phone.
If you can barely make a phone call off.
Yeah.
Until the end of the book.
Yeah, and I love how they said, well, we won't talk about it now, but at the end of the book, even if you have a flip phone, you're still going to have data tracked on you. Like, why? Why is that true?
Okay.
Author of something, Jane Crouch, author of this book.
Jamie.
Oh, sorry, Jamie.
Jamie. So Bree gets a knock at the door. It turns out to be Melly, or Melissa.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, and she says crisscross applesauce, which is, I guess, code
Please
for
help me, crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, that's her code word.
It's stupid. I hate this book a lot. Please don't read this book unless you want to listen to the podcast and make fun of it with us, because this book is a downer.
I'm going to be honest with you. I like this one better than the last one.
No, I disagree
with that.
Yeah, I found the last one very much a chore to get through. The last one we read was a Scottish Highland tale about Athena. Anyway, you can listen to it.
I kind of
be the sixth person
to
listen to it. That's just because you want to be... Well, anyway. This one, there was no sex in it, which was disappointing, but... There was at least like some action going on.
Yeah,
I mean, this was a harlequin
action.
Intrigue, right?
Intrigue.
It's an intrigue. Mm-hmm. So
full of intrigue.
But so I was not intrigued, though.
Yeah.
Were you?
I mean, I wasn't like it wasn't my favorite thing to do, but it wasn't as bad as reading a bunch of bullshit about lairds and courtesans and you know friggin' haggis and other Scottish cuisine.
I don't know. I didn't hate that one.
Anyway, all right. So Melissa knocks on Melly's or on Bree. Bree's door.
A.K.A. Bethany.
Her real name is Bethany Malone.
Yeah, which is a reveal pretty much from the get-go because she's like, nobody knows I'm Bethany.
Would you say that now that she's not Malone anymore, that she's post-Malone?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yes.
That joke is brought to you by beer. You're welcome. Bethany says, crisscross applesauce, please... Do something for me, like meet me.
Who cares? Yeah, she wants her to meet her somewhere. These ladies are only 23, by the way. Is that right?
Early 20s, mid 20s. They're young, yeah. And Bree's never been kissed. We find that out, too.
Oh, she's a real loser.
Yeah. Even though she's so hot. according to Tanner. We'll get into that
later.
She's
got those green eyes, yeah. Baby. You know, every man wants some of those big green eyes.
Yeah, that's what he was looking at.
And
I'm
ladies
sure.
who don't smile.
Yeah,
he talked a lot about how she never smiled. I was like, she doesn't have to smile if she don't want to.
And he's going to pick her locks at some point.
Oh, God.
So she against all her instincts, and she talks about her friggin' mom a lot.
Her crazy mom.
Her crazy mama who stabs her in the shoulder at some point.
Yes. You find out finally why. You just are on pins and needles the whole book until
you finally find out
why her mom stabbed her. Yeah, no.
Anyway, so she meets.
There was a lot of reveal at the end that wasn't really a reveal because it was just like non-information, you know? Like, oh, this is the big reveal on page 195 or whatever. And you're just like, who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. So she meets her at like a grocery store or something. And she goes to a car and somebody puts a gun in the back of her head.
Yeah, some old dude who, by the way, never comes back.
I know, never. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
Never
shows up again. Doesn't have a name.
No.
Yeah, he just, like, puts a gun in her back and is like, here, take the baby.
He sounded like a pretty interesting
character.
Like
I would have followed him.
Or something.
Lance Hendrickson. I would definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if he was Lance Hendrickson from, like, Man's Best Friend and had the actual dog with him.
Or better yet, Lance Hendrickson from Pumpkinhead.
From Pumpkin. Oh, my God.
He could
when he was sexy.
Monster later. Oh, hell yeah. He was hot.
Millennium shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and surprise, there's babies. There's twins,
mm-mm-mm.
Right? Fraternal twins, right?
Yeah.
Because
just
you can't have a boy and a girl
on the
twin.
Run
yeah.
To have
what is your tawdry sex novel need? Friggin' baby twins.
Twin babies.
Yeah, twin babies.
One who's fussy and one who's sweet.
Yeah.
I have to explain how she got, like, she went there.
All right,
she
producer
went,
Sam, do me a favor. Talking to the mic.
Hello, producer Sam here. Okay. So I think that it needs to be explained why she was
why
in
what?
The parking lot and why she had the gun put up to her head. She was there to meet up with
That's
Melanie.
That's what I said. She went to meet Melissa.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
She never showed up.
Not
she
Melanie.
Never.
Melissa.
Melissa, Melly.
Melly.
Yeah, okay, Melly.
Yeah, that's what
Melly Furtado.
Yes. And then, and these babies are Melissa's.
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Yeah, they're Melissa's twin
babies. They're Melissa's twin
babies. That she had with some dude named Christian.
So they're her cousin's babies.
Yeah, we'll find out this later. You're getting ahead of it.
Okay, sorry.
So she friggin' meets up with Melly at the parking lot of Publix or some shit. And somebody puts a gun in the back of her head. And hold on.
He's good now, though.
Excuse me. Puts a gun in the back of her head. Yeah, and he's a good guy. And he's like, here, take the babies.
But he used to be a bad guy. But
well, they all were bad guys because they were in the organization.
Well, they gave a lot of information about him for them not to talk about him at all later after that.
Yeah, well, now they never bring him up again. Maybe he's in another Risk Peak bullshit. Anyway, whatever. So she takes the babies, and she's on the run. She's on the run. Excuse my voice. I'm sorry. I've been under the weather.
Well, can we talk about how she first describes
Liz,
herself?
We can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, in chapter 2, after she gets the babies and she starts giving like a little bit more exposition about herself, I wrote this down, so this must have been a line in there, which is that the organization taught her surveillance at 10. She target, track, and incapacitate an enemy virtually at 10. I don't know. I just thought it was pretty stupid. So.
Yeah, I mean, they like write her to be a very, very much a badass. But then, like in this book, she doesn't do shit until the end.
Always running,
like,
always scared.
She's always bugging out. She's a puss
with
and like
out bag.
For a genius, yeah. She just doesn't do anything in this book until the very end. Which, you know, spoiler alert, she ends up hacking because she's the world's greatest hacker.
Yeah, like why didn't
she
do that 10 years ago?
And she can't. Yeah, she can't steal any goddamn diapers. She could have hacked her way into the Publix and gotten some friggin' diapers. I'm sure if she's that good.
Why didn't she just hack into like the Federal Reserve and get a bunch of money?
Because that would make more sense than this stupid book had. Anyway, I still liked it better than the last one.
No,
thank you, Janie Crouch.
Needs Brenda.
All right, yeah, they could do a crossover where
or Scottish
Bree is
whatever
so
like Outlander.
She does like a does like a Kung Fury like hacker man, and she goes back to like in Kung Fury. She gets like hacker man, and she like surfs the keyboard into the old 1980s web. Anyway, whatever. All right, screw
well, like
this.
Bree had no physicality whatsoever. Like she, the only thing that she had to offer was. her hacking skills, yet 99% of the book she was waiting tables and taking care of babies or sleeping.
Yes,
like, she was hardly ever hacking anything.
I think just goes to show you that, you know, women are worthless.
Well, it goes to show you that the author has no, like, technical knowledge about hacking.
Well, that's what that's what I was going to say, was that, like, at least she didn't try... she didn't try to, like, make some bullshit, like, hacking scene, though. You know what I mean? It wasn't like where she said, like, oh, I'm going to cut them off at the pass, and I'm going to reroute I'm going to execute .hack.exe, you know, or some stupid crap like that. They just said, like, oh, she's a good hacker. But she didn't bother, you know. I mean, I get it, because nobody really understands hacking, right?
Yeah,
even the guys who write Mr. Robot don't understand what the hell hacking is. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. I don't understand it. But anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. So where were we? We're not even like 30 pages into this stupid
thing. No, now we need to get to when the sexy, he's always referred to as the sexy cop.
Yeah, that's his, especially when he puts the cowboy hat on later.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I mean,
don't
I felt like, I was getting a little aroused, too.
I mean,
he smells like Stetson cologne. He's got a pregnant dog.
I'm pretty sure he was on the Wrangler commercial.
I mean, I could just imagine what his butt looks like in jeans.
Yeah, pretty hot.
heavily starched jeans.
Heavily starched jeans, yeah. Mm-hmm. He catches her
stealing.
Shoplift, or attempting to shoplift.
Baby items.
Plays it very cool.
But he's so taken by her brilliant green eyes that instead of arresting her, he helps her steal, but then pays for them, basically.
Yes, he pays for her stolen items, and he is a police officer. The sheriff, right? Or is he the sheriff?
No,
he's the deputy.
He's not a sheriff. But he does say that she has, quote, the most brilliant green eyes he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Long brown hair, pert nose covered in freckles, and full sensual lips.
I got a question. What does
kissable
pert mean?
Pert means, like, if your boobs are really pert, they're like perky.
That's so perky. Like, I thought pert was like a dandruff shampoo.
Pert, yeah, it is. But pert it plus. Also means, like, I took it to mean like upturned. She had an upturned nose.
So she's snobbish? She's like, oh.
No, she had a small nose. She didn't have any big noggin.
Oh, okay.
She had
big noggin?
I don't know.
She didn't look like Jennifer
Whatever the slang for a nose is.
I don't
care had a little one.
Oh. All right.
She had a little everything.
We're looking at what pert means.
Yeah, we're looking at models with a pert nose. Apparently, Kate Beckinsale.
Ew.
Beyonce.
Me gusta.
Angelina Jolie. Not originally. Ryan Gosling.
Hey, yeah, he could play Brie.
Oh, but this old guy right here has a droopy nasal tip.
Let me see.
I don't know who that guy is.
Harry
Angelina
Potter.
Angelina paid for that pert nose.
Pot talk. All right. So and then All right. So here, he sends her to who was it? Dan and Cheryl.
Yeah, and that's where I wrote. Here come the tropes. Then I had to look up and make sure that tropes was the right word. And
it was. That sounds about right. It sends her to...
Do you want to hear what all the tropes are?
Yeah, go ahead. With the tropes.
Small, close-knit town.
Hold on. We should have like a little chalkboard with all the tropes.
Woman in trouble.
Check.
Man swept away by her eyes.
Yep, check.
Stupid. Earnest man in uniform. And a type of savant. I said, is this a Juliana Huff movie? Or Julianne Huff?
Juliana Huff.
What is that movie called?
Footloose? Oh, no, the friggin' Nicholas Sparks one?
Yes, I love that movie.
I do, too.
So
I actually really like that movie.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm such a... The one where it's got Tad Danielson.
Fergie's husband.
Yeah, Josh Duhamel. Win a Date with Tad and Hamilton.
Oh.
And, yeah. No, not that
what
movie,
is that
though.
Movie
but it's like, it's a Nicholas Sparks book where
it's
he's
really good,
in North Carolina,
really
like every other
it's
Nicholas.
It's a ghost story that you don't know.
I know, because friggin' Kobe Smulders. Spoiler alert. Yeah, it turns out to be. How did this get made on there? Yeah. Duhamel. Yeah, he's
and
married
Julianne
to Fergie.
Huff.
Mrs. P. MC P. Pants.
You've never seen that? It's a Nicholas.
Yeah, Safe Haven. Yeah, actually, I was surprised I watched that whole movie. I really liked it. Anyway. She goes there and immediately passes out in the stall, right?
Oh, yeah. She's sleepy.
She's Brie
tired.
Is sleepy.
All that organization constantly chasing that girl.
She falls asleep.
She gets tired
she
a lot.
She gets sleepy. She falls asleep.
Because babies.
Hey there, babies.
Yeah. Hey there, eye contact. Look at me. Hey there.
Yeah, they made eye contact and he says, Hey there.
Guys, don't read this book. It's dumb.
All right. So, old Tanner Dempsey comes back, or he goes to the diner, and he sees her there later, right? Then she's working. Like, Dan and Cheryl convince her.
They immediately don't think she's a crackhead, although right. That would be my thought.
Well, I don't know. You can't have sleepy crackheads. That's like a Chinese riddle.
Well, yeah, which are coming off a crack. Yes. She did have those big green eyes.
She had the big green eyes, and crackheads can't be pretty.
True. That's true. Except for Angelina Jolie.
If she did look like a crackhead, would he have still helped her?
Oh, no. Sorry. She had those big eyes. That's what he wanted, honey. He wanted a piece of those eyes.
Well, hold on. I'm glad y'all... Hold on a second. Because I want to talk about something. There is a Reddit sub. Do y'all go on Reddit?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. There's a Reddit sub called Men Writing Women. And it's all about how stupid men are when they try to write women, like, you know, her boobs bounce boobily as, you know, she jumped on the trampoline.
Well, that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thing. But I really think there, in this book at least, there are women writing men, and it's just as stupid.
Oh, she writes him so badly. I never have met a man
that has
the thoughts or dialogue right. or actions yeah. that this man
like,
has.
Tanner Dempsey is a ridiculous. Gay man yeah. that likes Poontang.
Yes, he is not straight.
He is not straight.
He is not interested in women.
He says something like, and this is what a gay man would say, I think, personally. Like, if this was Jeffree Star looking at this gorgeous, looking at this gorgeous Bree Daniels, and he's like, I want to touch her hair.
Yeah,
I want to know if it's, hold on, shut up. This is the best part. I want to touch her hair because I want to know if it's as soft as it is in my dreams.
Yeah.
Fuck you. All right.
Now, do men, Mark, Jonathan?
No.
Do men think that?
That is not what he's...
When Sam comes home, producer Sam, after a long day or...
I give a shit about Sam's hair.
Social media Mel, after a long day.
Yeah.
And you look at her and the first thing you see is
I say,
that hair.
Yeah,
those
I go, hey
you
there.
Say, well, we won't say what you probably do.
No. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking. He's not thinking that. He's like...
No, absolutely
Sam,
not.
Sam, does Mel's hair and eyes turn you on?
Well, they do.
I mean, they're
way,
beautiful, but... of course, but I'm saying, you know...
But yeah, he's like, I want
to... Like, when you're getting ready to get freaky, you're not like, give me some of that hair. Let me look in those eyes.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, I did always want to get hair from Portia de Rossi. From
Allie McBeal reference.
That's different.
And only 25
years She shakes it in your face when she's getting
Had
freaky
that in my
with
back
you.
Pocket yeah. for a while.
But no, I mean, if serious, in all honesty, is he sitting there thinking, I want to touch your hair because in my dreams it's really soft. No, he's like, I want to know
what you're like in bed, baby.
I want to know. Never mind. All right. No, he's not thinking that. Unless he's a gay man. Where he's like, because I could imagine like a gay guy going like, oh, she's got pretty hair. I've been dreaming about how pretty that hair is. I want to touch it. Well, you know what I mean? Anyway.
She didn't try very hard when she wrote this book. Let's be honest. She didn't try to learn about the technical matter, what she was talking about. She didn't try to talk about a realistic man. Even the town is not realistic. Like, small towns, they are not close-knit. I'm sorry. They are more judgmental than anything else.
They would have been like, who is this bitch rolling up in here?
Oh, let me take care of
some,
this precious girl and her babies. They'd be like, hell no.
Yeah, look at this slutty girl coming in here with her no man, and she got two babies.
Yes.
There's some wrong with her.
Probably on welfare.
And she's falling asleep in the diner.
You know she's on drugs.
She's on drugs, y'all.
Living in sin.
Living in sin with two babies. Yes. God must hate her.
Right.
I don't know why the people of Colorado have a deep
Southern,
South Georgia
They're Southern over there. Only in Risk Peak.
Risk Peak got plopped straight out of Southern Georgia.
And they say, bless your heart,
bless
honey.
Your heart. Let me give you some lemon pie. Although they did say Dan and Cheryl were from Georgia. Did you notice that?
I don't know.
They could get like the most Southern food.
Yeah, that's true.
In Colorado.
Because Dan and Cheryl.
Because
yeah,
I think
Dan
they
and
were
Cheryl,
from right. Georgia.
Yeah,
I
they said Dan and Cheryl from Georgia.
Point. Exactly.
That's
they make
right,
country
that's
fried
true.
Steak, yes.
Do they have country fried steak in Colorado?
They do now because of Dan and Cheryl.
Thank you, Dan and Cheryl.
I won some kind of eating
Fighting
challenge
when
we
fight.
Lived out there. I ate some Bigfoot challenge. All right, so let's talk about, there's a part I wrote down that says that Tanner Dempsey notices
Tanner Dempsey.
A bit of crumb.
Oh, yes.
On Bree's mouth.
Uh-huh.
And proceeds to pick it off her face
he
and,
sure
and lick it off his fingers.
Sexy.
I wrote, did he really pick a crumb off her mouth and eat it? They yes. just met. That's gross. And then I wrote lots
may
of
I skimmed
action.
Over that one.
You didn't get that part, Mark?
I may have missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, like, I understand, you know, like, you go and maybe you dab, like, a napkin on her
well, this
or whatever.
Was the second day they knew each other. Yeah, the first like, or second day they yeah. knew each other.
I know.
Like, if some dude, I don't care how hot you are, but if some dude was like, oh, girl, you have, let me eat that. I'd be like, get the fuck up off me. What are you doing?
I just like to pretend sorry, like Mom. It wasn't a crumb, but it was like a booger.
And now that I would have eaten. But a crumb, no.
It's like, hey, baby, got a booger. Let me
take care of that for you.
For you.
I'm going to save that for later.
Oh, she's trouble.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely trouble. All right, talking to the mic.
There's a part that I really just want to read because he just loves to talk about how much trouble she is. But here it is. He's like, Bree says, what makes you think I'm in any trouble at all? And Tanner says, you've got trouble all but tattooed on your forehead. It was one thing when you were just passing through, but now you've stuck around. So whatever trouble you're in becomes my problem. True. Two.
And then don't forget, I don't want to see the Andrewses get hurt. Man, shut up. Nobody going to say the Andrewses. I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not going to hurt anyone.
Yeah, then I wrote down there's the last quote of chapter 4. He took a last sip of his coffee. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it, but I'm not going to ignore that she could be a threat to this town. That woman has secrets, and I intend to find out what they are. Yeah, he thinks that she's hella trouble, but he also totally wants to touch her hair.
Oh, he's in love
slash
with her.
Slash have the sex with her.
Well, that's why he likes her so much is because he knows she's trouble, and he likes it.
Yeah, he does. He does like it.
Well, I didn't take any notes for about 60 pages because I just couldn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I stopped taking notes between page, 60 and page 120. And I picked it back up.
Yeah, I picked it up at about 118 where I wrote down chubby middle school cop.
Yeah.
Scott.
I said adorable new guy Scott. Will he die? But then later I did think, will he be bad?
Yeah.
But initially I knew something was up with him.
My first thought was that he was a bad guy. Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, it seemed pretty obvious actually.
That he was a bad guy?
Sorry.
I think you need to mention just a brief plot note here from social media, Mel, that during this time of where no one took any notes, she has decided to stay in Risk Peak and is employed by the Andrewses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sleeping in their office,
and
too.
And she's,
or no, she's sleeping in their barn or something.
No,
isn't
she's
she?
Sleeping in some apartment.
Yeah.
But it's theirs. They just love her so
they're
much.
They're helping her out, but she's working there, and so she's working at the diner.
But why? Why are
and
they helping her?
Can
you because they love the babies. Oh. They love
babies. Babies are a dime a dozen. You can get a baby
because
anywhere.
Not
two babies. Because babies.
Well, one of them is a little bitch. He's always crying.
Yeah, Christian.
And the other one, I guess, is
and
okay.
I just have, you know, it had to be the boy baby that has to be
yeah,
the little bitchy baby.
We all know how men are.
We know
are.
How
yeah.
boys babies.
They whine a lot.
But during this time is when the Scott guy shows up. He's the new guy from the interplanet, what, not interplanetary.
Yes, yeah. Interplanetary. That's exactly where he's from. Yeah.
He's from the Beastie Boys.
Interplanetary
space police. Yeah. He is from yeah the
just
interstellar.
Just checking in, doing those updates on those
checking
laptops.
Out, because that's how good updates. A hacker Bree is. Yeah. Is that fucking the aliens are checking on her?
Yeah,
but the interstate special task force.
And Tanner doesn't check. That's the other. He doesn't even check.
He just shows up saying, "Hey, I'm here to do some updates on your computer."
Yeah, and he's like, "Here's
just gotta
oh,
update
sweet.
Those laptops."
Yeah, here's
he's
my
like,
laptop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm so not gonna check.
Well, how did they know that that?
Course
how did they?
Real.
How did they know that laptop was in the diner at the end?
Because the lady told.
Yeah, but how did she know?
She had a tracker or something.
She had a tracker on the laptop.
She had a tracker on the laptop.
I remember that part.
Cop
yeah,
out.
It's government. Yeah, it's the government. Okay. So Scott, yeah, spoiler alert, turns out to be a bad guy.
Yeah, damn Scott.
Can I just say,
the
I
chubby
really wanted
middle
Melissa
school.
To be. What? I really wanted Melissa to double cross.
Melissa did not have enough of a personality to even know
yeah.
double cross. She didn't know how
I was
to.
Hopeful.
She didn't know how to sneak in them churches, though. Boy. She was a church sneaker.
She knew how to call the phones. Oh, what's going to bring me to another part? If Bree's phone is so important, why does she have it on vibrate all the damn time? Right. There's a part where it says that she's like, I just happened to be awake and I heard my phone vibrating. It's like, no, if you're expecting some crazy ass call, then you need to have like the friggin'
bells and
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of stupid.
Well, maybe it's so old.
You know, she's maybe cold, she's not as a big a genius as we think she is.
It's not cool to have your ringtone on.
Yeah, but when you got killers coming to your friggin' apartment,
higher than 99% of coolness? The population.
Which, yeah, and let's get into that real quick. Can we talk about, yeah, like 99% of the population is still only an IQ of like 135, which doesn't make you a hacker genius. If you look at a bell curve, right? I like math.
You're giving them a lot of credit.
Yeah, I'm doing the math right now. 99% is well, no, it would be like 140. It's two standard deviations. All right, I'll be quiet.
That's not that high.
Liz, you should know this, right? You're not taking like statistics or anything?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Well, the very next page after she talks about her high IQ is where my favorite dialogue from the whole book is, which is where he starts to have seemingly a stroke.
You're going to let me read this? What page is
that?
He's
trying to be romantic. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Set the scene. Set the scene.
What page is it?
He says, so you start with, so you tell me the truth. You be.
Yeah, okay, I'll be Tanner. This is going to be weird because you're my sister, but okay.
Oh, is it weird? This will be like Joe Dirt. Who knows what he's even talking about?
Oh, yeah, that's true. So you.
This is supposed to be romantic.
Hold on. Can I start with, I'm going to ad lib a little there.
Okay.
You got to lock eyes with me. Hey there. Hey there.
Now it got weird.
So you tell me the truth when you can?
Yes, but I don't understand what you're getting at.
24, teal, strawberry, Venice, a wrinkle in time, security gate guard, the Matrix.
What? That is a valid question. What are you talking
about?
Hold on.
I'm
sorry.
Ballerina, dogs, and quite unfortunately, in my opinion, pop.
I don't understand. I don't either, honey.
Yeah, so, and so he goes he's on memorized, yeah, her age, her favorite color, her favorite ice cream. The pop for?
Pop is her favorite.
No, not soda.
No, her favorite kind of music.
Yeah, the favorite genre of music.
First of all, let's talk about how unrealistic this dialogue is. It's crazy, number one.
Yeah, it's
number
insane.
Number two, no man would think like that, as we've already discussed. And number three, how did he remember the order that he said all that stuff in, and then later to say, like, the category? Like, you know what I mean? Like he said, 24, teal, strawberry, Venice, a wrinkle in time. And then later he was like, your age, favorite color, favorite flavor, ice cream.
He's obviously on the spectrum.
Yes, he does have that memory thing.
He's the male version of Temple Grandin. He thinks in pictures. Temple Grandin.
Who's that?
I'll explain it later.
Okay. On Homeland?
No.
Never mind. On Romeo and Juliet? No, she was Juliet.
You mean My So-Called Life? No, oh, Temple Grandin. She was she's a famous. I'll explain it later. Look her up.
Okay.
Oh shit! What were we talking about?
We were talking about.
All right, yeah. So that's stupid dialogue. This book is.
But how does that dialogue end? It ends in him kissing her.
Does it? What page was that?
127.
His fingers trail down her cheek.
Apparently, he likes to cup and touch her face a lot.
Yeah, her face.
Her face. He cups and touches.
And yes. You like those eyes? I'm telling you.
Mm. Yeah. When and he began to nibble her lips gently.
Oh, stop! I hate that.
Nibble.
Nibble.
This was their first kiss after this conversation.
Lost
because that conversation did not creep her out.
Yeah.
Oh. Hold on. We passed over. Did we pass over where they were already went to Denver? And she tried to meet up with Melly.
This is where they're hiding out in the bathroom in Denver. Page 127.
Yeah, this is right after.
He says something about camaraderie kisses at some point. He kisses her.
In the bathroom.
He kisses her in the bathroom, and it's camaraderie kisses. It's not meant to be sexual or anything.
Light, feathery brushes, but definitely different than the brief kiss of camaraderie he'd given her when they'd been hiding out in the bathroom.
Camaraderie kisses.
Yeah. Oh, it was like around page 100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this book is dumb.
Yeah, I'm going to kiss you out of camaraderie.
That's my sum up of the book is I hated it. It was dumb.
All right, so...
Yeah, well, can we talk about that? Because he obviously likes her, and she likes him. So why did he give her that weird-ass kiss in the bathroom anyway? Because if he didn't know that she liked him...
Well, okay, so...
I mean, I don't just go around kissing people that are my friends.
But this is my thing. Hold on. This is my...
It was a running. It was like a light brush.
This is my thing.
It was like a moment. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, when they're in the bathroom, they had just, like, left the church, right? And they'd been running...
from these people, and they were trying to find a place to stay. So they have all of this, you know, energy and just, what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Oh, my
God. Adrenaline. Adrenaline, yeah, okay.
Liz, yes.
But, so here's my thing. The whole point of this silly-ass podcast is that Mark and I are trying to understand.
I don't understand it either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that you're a lady, at least as far as I know. Like, and
so far.
And you don't get it either. Like, is this supposed to be sexy?
No.
Is this supposed to be, like,
I think that
some
this,
kind of turn-on?
Yeah, I think that this plays into a very specific fantasy that women have.
Well,
and
that's what I want to get to as well.
Is, but
is that we've only read two books, and one of them was the one from the last one was about the Scottish bullshit with Athena and whatnot, and then this one, and then what I wrote down was that in both books there's this conflict of desire, right? In the first one that we read about the Athena not wanting to fall in love with Simon because for some reason I don't even remember now because I've drank that book out.
She
of my
wanted
memory.
To be her own woman.
Yeah, that. And then in this one, the conflict is Bree doesn't want to cause trouble or doesn't want to get anybody in trouble. Yeah, she don't want to bring trouble. So it's like, is this has got to be what's sexy or appealing to the readers, is that the conflict is within the desire of the main character female.
I guess, but I also think that this author thinks that the way that Tanner talks about her and talks to her and thinks about her is supposed to be appealing. Like, he's so into her eyes, her hair. Like, that's what women want, is somebody who wants to take care of them.
I think there are some slight differences between, but I hear what you're saying. Because in general, I think what is a common is common between these two books, and especially with this one, and this is something that Mark and I had multiple conversations of, and today when we've got together, like, these are very, I think this book was written for the woman on the go who wants to get some kind of enjoyment quickly out of, like, while she's sitting on the bus, that can make her just, like, think about something briefly without, like, her losing her mind. Like,
yeah, there definitely wasn't any kind of, like, subtext or any deep.
You do not think through this, but this book is so, like, the term I use is basic. Like,
yeah.
To the nth degree. Like, there's nothing deep about this. This is just, like,
all right.
You're reading it.
So, yeah, if you're listening to this and want to suggest a, you know, an upgraded package of a book and not the basic kind, then please, what's our social media, Mel? It's,
well, while she's looking at it.
While she's looking at it. It's Harbro.
It's the email. What's the email?
Well, it's harbropodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. So it's Harbro. It's at Harbro.
Podcast?
Podcast.
Yeah. H-A-R-B-R.
Jesus.
Way to go, social media mail.
Y'all be putting me on the spot when I'm
however
ready.
Much money I'm paying
I'd
you,
I'd be
double
drinking
it.
Some copper cans.
Yeah.
Each can has three shots worth of.
All right. So getting back to the story.
Second. Well, can I just say really
at
quick,
12 in the afternoon.
Just to talk about, like, what the appeal of the book is. To me, there was no appeal because there was no escapist fantasy in there. Like, I can't relate to any of the characters.
But
I did not like any of the characters. There was not enough information about anything to make the plot likable or readable.
But
I just thought it was bad from
so,
beginning
but I
to
think,
end.
I think that that's the thing, though, is that there's so many different sub-genres of these shit books, right? That there's the Scottish ones. That's a whole series of Simon and Athena,
yeah, but
and
that
then
that
there's this intrigue stuff. Well, this is
out,
part of
though.
The series, though, right?
The woman who wrote that book, Between a Highlander and a Hard Place, seemed like she actually knew.
Yeah, she did.
What
but
she was
that's,
talking about. Whereas
but,
this woman
but I think
had
that,
no
I think,
idea what she was talking about.
But I don't know. See, I think that Janie Crouch, the lady who wrote this, actually, I don't know. To me, it's better paced. I mean, would you say that,
agreed.
Mark?
Yes.
Mark's a
yeah.
movie
I thought
person.
It was coherent. I mean, it was a progression. I mean, and it,
it's better. To me, it's better around. Paced. It made more sense. And maybe it's because I just don't give a shit about mm-hmm. Scottish books or movies unless it's Braveheart.
I mean, I don't either, but I just felt like.
But I think that that's the thing, is that there's these subgenres and that you're not, you don't appeal necessarily to this one.
No, I did not care for this
one. Yeah, and like me personally, I mean, you know, I'd rather do anything than read this stupid ass book. But like, I think it was better than the last one. Anyway, I wrote down
everyone's
that.
Everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, everyone's a critic. Tanner calls her sweetheart almost immediately.
I know, hated that.
Which, I'm a guy.
Did not care for that.
And I'm a Southern guy. And I'm a, I would say, maybe set in my ways person. But that's even to me seemed like, I wouldn't call some woman sweetheart after like a day.
Yeah, lots of pet names going on in
this. I'm married to I'm married producer Sam, and I still don't call her sweetheart.
Yes, you do.
All right, I do. But it took a while. It wasn't like the day after we met, you know.
Well, then if you notice at the end when Bill Steele reveals himself to Melissa, he's like, no, Angel, don't do that. Like, these women have names. You can call them by their name, you know.
But again,
I hate pet names.
You can't call this part of like all right, so this I would love. I don't even know what like the topic I'm looking for. You can't call this like sexist though, or you can't call this part of like the patriarchy because one, it's written by a woman for women, right? Unless you could argue that it's for women who are so wrapped up. Or still, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to.
I think that there's a lot of people who don't necessarily mind it, especially coming from a person of authority. Given like, I mean, I'm just saying. Now, look, I am 100% like a feminist, and we can disagree. But like for this, I can see what you're saying. Like, this is clearly written for a specific point of view, and I think the audience that would read this, who's looking for this, doesn't really care. That sweetheart is the romance of the novel that brings about it, and that's why women, you know, they.
Well, and again, and I think we talked about this last time. It's about the fantasy.
Exactly.
And there was some, it's either on Netflix or something, and it's like, just because somebody has a rape fantasy doesn't, I mean, sorry to get to extremes, but if somebody has,
no,
well, but the last book was very,
like, whoa.
But if somebody has like, I mean, seriously, if somebody has a rape fantasy doesn't mean they actually want to get raped, right? If somebody has a choking fantasy or whatever, it was a documentary.
So are you saying that if they have a sweetheart fantasy, they don't actually want to be called
sweetheart? No, but like. I don't know what the hell.
No,
I'm
I think
to
I
say.
Hear where you're going with it. That just because you fantasize about certain things for like bedroom pleasure type things doesn't necessarily mean in your real everyday
like
life you want it to happen.
The episode of Futurama where Fry is getting with that woman who wants everything clean and
But what is the fantasy of this book like? Is the fantasy to be a withdrawn,
the
socially
to me,
inverted
the fantasy
hacker?
Is you are this woman that's so
who's
complex.
Being saved. Or whatever.
And she's a badass.
But she's not, though. She's not a badass.
But she is a badass. She's like a badass hacker.
Oh, yeah. She can hack the hell out of them.
She can do, like, Microsoft Excel stuff that nobody can do. I mean, she's like
Martin Import a spreadsheet into that. You know?
I think that the fantasy of this is more the thriller. Like, these women, this woman is living this on the run, dangerous kind of like. That's I think, the fantasy is, you know, I guess you could say, like, a woman who just... To be able to just get up and, I don't know, go and, like, just be on the run and have this dangerous element. Like, that doesn't mean, like, you don't want to live dangerously in your real life, but in a fantasy world, like, that could be exciting. So you get your kicks off of that, and reading it is exciting to you. So that's kind of what...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily for me, and obviously not for Liz.
No, I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, other than hacking, though, she really could not take very good care of herself because every time she was on the run...
Agreed.
But she's... But you got to think, too, like, she's been terrorized by the organization, right? We haven't even talked about the friggin'
organization.
Can I just ask, was there any creativity in coming up with that name?
Or even better, it's the evil... The front is communication for all. It's get the hell out of here. That's even worse.
Yeah.
Like the community or the organization, even just, I mean, at least it sounds a little evil or whatever.
But they broke her legs.
Yeah, they broke her legs.
Yeah, that was dark.
Places.
Yeah, they broke her legs in like three different places and tortured her in front of her mom or her mom in front of her.
She was 12.
Yeah, she's 12, this poor girl. And did you get the part at the end where like Michael Jeter is saying. He's like, did you get the kind of pedophile vibe
from
him?
Yeah, he had the hots for her.
Yeah, he had the hots for her when
she was. It made him mad. He thought that those were his kids.
Yeah, well, no, and he says he said he couldn't stand like the idea of somebody touching her or something.
Well, and then he was like, "Ooh, I like it when you get feisty."
Yeah,
but yet he hasn't seen her since
she was a child.
And he said, "Hey there, Yeah. When she came in.
He's like, look at my eyes. Look at my eyes.
Yeah, look at my eyes.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Have we even explained to the audience why we keep saying hey there? It's so bad.
I don't know. Okay. Thanks,
well,
producer
let's
Sam.
Keep moving with the plot because I want to talk about.
Yeah,
the
I want to talk about a couple other things. So eventually, God damn it, that's what
sorry.
I was gonna say.
I'm sorry.
You just ruined what I wrote down.
I love that part. I was like, what?
Compares her to a horse?
Yes,
question mark.
Obviously.
Hold on. I got it pulled up. Page 163.
Yes, here I am too.
Hold on, but before we get there. Tanner
and
kicks her.
What's gentling mean anyway?
Yeah, Tanner. Tanner kicks her out of town, or so we think, and then sets up a roadblock. And
how did he get there so fast?
Who knows? He's fucking Superman.
This movie's stupid. I meant this book. Whatever.
So they take her to the ranch, and we meet Noah. And Noah is another badass. Tanner has a ranch. Of course he does.
Yeah,
so he could just give you an excuse to wear a.
Wear that cowboy hat, baby.
Wear the cowboy hat. But yeah, here on page 163.
Love this part. This did get funnier toward the end,
yeah,
I will say.
It says,
I had some parts where I giggled.
So there's horses, and Bree's never seen a horse or some stupid shit. But it says, like some of the horses he helped Noah raise, Bree needed time and gentling. He would try to give as much as he could of both.
And what does gentling mean?
Gentling, I guess it would mean like taming the horse. Mark is a professional horse whisperer.
Mark, are you a horse whisperer?
Yeah, tell us what
you didn't know about that.
No,
yeah, tell us
no
about
idea.
What gentling a horse.
Yeah,
the last time,
about,
what was your hardest
horse
you had to gentle?
The hardest one.
Was it?
Tell us
it
about.
Was Rocket. I remember it was Rocket.
Yes, Rocket.
It was a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
No, she was a filly, and she was a 3-year-old filly, and she was very sweet. But you just have to stroke her hair mane.
She was really sweet. You don't have to gentle a sweet horse.
Yeah,
you got to
gentle
like the mean,
bitches.
The wild horses,
the mares,
the one that makes friggin' Scarlett Johansson lose her leg. You
the
know?
Ones on 8 seconds to wait. What was it?
That was Luke.
8 seconds. Luke Perry.
Luke
Whatever.
Perry.
I don't know.
R.I.P. Luke Perry.
R.I.P.
Yeah, poor Luke Perry. I'm sorry. All right.
Now to be it.
Downtrodden now. Oh so I'm glad that stroke. Liz and I wrote down the same part that we.
Way to be it.
That's what I meant to say.
Not wild to be
We both wrote down that she gets compared to a horse. I wrote on the next page, on 160, well, 2 pages later, he calls her Freckles.
Yeah.
Where?
I didn't see that part.
On page.
Somebody's a furry.
165.
Oh, my God.
What? Somebody's a furry.
Freckles. For Freckles?
Yeah,
see, I thought he was watching Lost.
Well, he did like that
That's
pert
better.
Nose with Freckles.
And you know what? What's her name in Lost? Come on. She was in Ant-Man.
Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah. I think she could make a Bree.
She's
okay.
A decade too old.
She is a little old. Yeah.
This girl
yeah.
is supposed to be 23.
Yeah.
That's
I
why
agree.
It was really hard when I was trying to think of somebody.
But
yeah.
He calls her Freckles, and they never met anyway.
I have too much respect for Evangeline.
All right, and then I put 167, last sentence. Oh, here we go. All right, so that's what I was going to say. A lot of these last sentences of these damn chapters are the stupidest shit. So this is where it says. It says, Tanner pulled her closer, willing to accept her trust as what it was, a treasure. And then he goes, hey there. No, I'm just kidding.
Look at my eyes.
Look at my eyes. Look right here. Hey there.
Wow. This book was
bad. It's pretty silly. All right. So then they come up with some plan to use her hacker skills to.
Blah, blah, blah.
I thought the ending was pretty suspenseful, to be honest.
Really?
The last few pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, the reveal. All right. So they
wrapped it up real quick.
We didn't even talk about Bill Steele.
No.
Whose real name is. Christian Martinez.
And these guys could not make the connection between him and the organization. Like, they literally thought that he was just some creepy stalker.
Yeah, we skipped over
that.
That
was so stupid.
So Bill Steele was this creepy thin man, as they kept referring
creepy
to him.
Creepy thin guy, yeah. You
and
know
he's
thinnies.
Always watching Bree, but he also, like, saves her from getting attacked. What were you going to say, Mark?
I was just going to say, like, was he working independently? I mean,
he was,
just doing his own thing?
He was Melissa's baby daddy, remember?
Yeah, he's Melly's
baby
dad.
Yeah.
Exactly, but.
That she thought has died.
Exactly.
Yeah. The organization apparently killed him.
But truly,
but,
was he, like, independent, doing
no.
his own
yes,
thing?
Yes, he's independent.
Yes,
he's
because he
anymore.
Can't let Melissa know that he's still alive because he's afraid of the organization.
Okay, but did he know that those babies were his, or did he think they were hers?
I think yeah, that's a good question.
He acted surprised when he heard.
That's
about
a
the
really
babies.
Good question, because how does he even know who the hell Bree is?
But
because
see,
he supposedly is dead after, or well, before. He supposedly has been dead. No, Melissa doesn't know that Beale Steele.
No, she doesn't. She thinks that her baby daddy is dead.
Yeah, yeah, she thinks Christian, who AKA is Beale Steele, is
construction
dead.
Construction worker.
But maybe he starts this off by undercover, like keeping tabs on Melissa, and then.
But Melissa wasn't in Risk Peak, though.
No, but maybe that's how it started off for him, and that's how he discovered.
Hey, I've got a better theory. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, true.
I mean, really, who cares? Right. I think that while Janie Crotch was writing this, she said, "Who gives a shit?"
This book would have been better with a cold open, talking about his story, like him being shot up or whatever.
He doesn't. Who cares? Anyway, there's this guy. Yeah, you're right. There's this guy, Beale Steele.
He's got to be a more interesting character than Tanner.
Ends up turning out to be Melissa's baby daddy.
Baby daddy. Yep.
But she thinks he's dead.
But he's been taking pictures of Bree and the baby.
Well, but it even said it's like he took mostly pictures of the baby, though.
Yeah,
and every picture of Bree was with the babies.
I don't know.
So that makes sense. Anyway, whatever. I know it's stupid. Well, talking to the mic, Producer Sam.
I mean,
I can't
wait until, are we at the point yet where Bree fully explains her genius level?
Yeah. Are we on page 193?
Yeah. Are we
Hold
there
on.
Yet?
Can we say this one part where it says you were homeschooled?
That's
hey,
what I'm
do you know who
about.
Do you know who else was homeschooled?
Oh, shut up.
Producer shut Samantha.
Up. Who cares?
That's tell, cool. Why don't you give us some insight on being homeschooled?
You have to code for a nefarious organization.
Hey, Sam,
could
you read computer code twice as fast as other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is
now.
That what you learned in homeschool?
Did you get stabbed by your mom?
Yeah. Did your mama stab you?
I still rub my shoulder sometimes.
All right. Calm down. All right, what were you going to say?
That shoulder.
All right, she's done. She's got the giggles. She is officially out of commission. Uh-oh. She's going to start snorting in a minute. Uh-oh. Here come the snorts. It's right on cue.
Okay, so yeah. What are we talking about?
I don't know. What were you talking about? Shit.
Yes, her genius level. Bree finally explains it. So Tanner asks
her. Page 193 of page 200.
Well, it starts at 192 towards the end. Tanner's like, I need you to tell me exactly what's going on. And Bree's like, it's not an easy story to believe. And
no,
he's like,
it's not.
Try me. Trust me. And so
then
he
says, hey there.
But he's like, you were homeschooled? And she's like, sort of. More like.
Hold on, let's do this as a couple.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You ready?
All right. Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me get. Okay.
Start at the top of page
193. Yeah. Say,
I never went to college. Never really went to school at all, actually, after I turned 13. That's not to say I never had an education, just that I never went to the buildings like, you know, most other people did.
You were homeschooled?
Sort of. More like I was a genius level hacker who could read three times as fast as most people and could visualize code twice as fast as that. So I taught myself everything I needed to know.
And then this is the best part. He nodded slowly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
it just
can't wait to touch your hair.
And then after that, I don't know. Like, this bit gets so, like, it's just like all of us.
This whole few pages are stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's pretty funny.
But that's where it picks up. You get like 20 good page, 20, 30 pages that are like good.
Yeah, these are the pages that made me giggle. So,
yeah, I definitely had some giggles. There were mad giggles going on. There were doctor giggles. All right, never mind. That was stupid. It's a movie. Shut up.
I like when she talks about like how bad the communication for all is. And she's like, you know when your battery goes dead on your phone? That's the communication for all, mining your data. I'm like, oh.
Really? Yeah.
That's like my shitty iPhone.
Yeah, my iPhone, you know, happens to die pretty quick. Goddamn communication for all.
Yeah, I knew
you nefarious group with a, you know, altruistic face.
Okay, here's a serious question. And I even wrote down, serious question. Why do they want to record data from every citizen?
That's what I was saying, too. What is their end goal?
I mean, didn't Bush do that with the
Patriot
Act anyway?
Yeah.
Well, I think they say in the book, though, that they're basically, they can blackmail people, and those that can afford it can pay them off.
Yeah, but why
wouldn't
they just But well, how really many hours wish, of boring ass,
yeah, I really
daily,
wish,
mundane life are they going to have to
I know.
Go through?
Yeah, and I really, you know, I was stupid. Hoping at one point Bree would be like, you explained all that, and
this,
then just be like,
book was so
thanks,
poorly
Obama.
Thought out. That's what, because she had an Obama phone? Is that what
I don't know. Yeah, because she was
that's
born,
how she got
twins.
Away with that Obama phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I was saying, too. What was their whole point? They were gonna mine data from all of these phones, including the flip phones. Like, who gives a shit what flip phone users are doing?
I said most people are probably looking at porn or Reddit.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Who cares? Why would
like, who would care?
Want to?
I mean, they're going to be really disappointed.
Oh, God. I'd love for them to try to listen to mine.
Yeah.
I turn mine off and put it in the glove box anytime I talk about the government.
Well, that's why you got me the DNA kit and not yourself, so that you wouldn't be on the
shit,
government radar.
I still can't rape and murder anybody because they can still trace me back to you.
All right. So Bree was able to hack. Somehow she was able to not backdoor the organization, but front door.
Who cares?
Which was the most sexual thing of the
brute force.
Stupid ass book.
That was
yeah.
hot.
It was like, yeah.
She got in the front door with
she
brute force,
baby. She
went
in the
baby.
Front door with brute force. Yeah, exactly.
She's a naughty girl. When Bree's little tongue brushed against his lips, all thoughts of Tinder fled. Ew, gross. That's a
I know, it is pretty gross.
Why does her tongue have to be little?
Yeah, that is.
Just like a young Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, but it'd be weird tongue. If it was like her giant giraffe tongue,
that
you know,
like
lick
that. That's a character from Game of Thrones, though, right? Little tongue?
Little tongue. Yeah.
Wow.
He made all of the lady characters real unhappy.
Sorry, Game of Thrones fans.
The most disappointing character in Game of Thrones.
Season 8 is causing amnesia. Now.
Yeah, I know. Thanks a lot, D&D, you dickheads. Way to ruin a great show. Punk asses.
Then I wrote down, these babies are cock blocking. Damn it, I can't even get it out.
Yeah.
Edit that part so that I say it smoothly. These
nope.
babies are cock blocking.
Nope, not going
to
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, edit because it needs to come out
okay.
in a natural way. Thank you.
So she succeeds. Do they kill Jeter? I forget.
No.
They don't kill
no,
Jeter.
Melissa starts to kill him.
He was brought to justice.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, don't angel.
That's right. It turns out that Bill Steele is actually Christian Martinez. Is that
yes.
his last name?
Martinez.
Which makes me think he's Hispanic, and he's going around saying, hola, me amo Bill Steele. I am a total gringo, like you gringos. My name is Bill.
Don't get racist here.
Oh, is that racist? They call gringos gringos?
Oh, I was talking about your awesome.
Oh,
you can use
doing my.
Yeah. Maybe don't do a stereotypical.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, okay. More Hispanic.
I was just
listeners.
Doing Jack Black from Nacho Libre.
Oh, yeah. Well.
It's the best. Okay.
Eats the best. Love it.
Surprise. So then at the end, for some reason, this didn't make any sense. They succeed, and she's back in Kansas City for 3 weeks.
Yeah, why did she?
Why
go back?
In 3 weeks then she is in
know.
Kansas City?
I don't know why she went back. I assume that she was just trying to resume like her previous life.
Oh, yeah,
and that
do
she
that.
Was so unhappy in Kansas City.
Like a paranoid
yeah,
show.
No, that was what I was saying. The moral of the story is that Kansas City blows. Is that nobody wants to live in freaking Kansas
sorry,
City.
Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, sorry, buddy Scott.
We love you, Scott.
Yeah, we love you, Scott. He lives
no
in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, hey, Scott. There's no pie in Kansas City or
there's
pregnant
no lemon
dogs.
Pie. There's no,
no
yeah, there's no
dogs
pregnant
in
dogs.
Kansas City.
There's no.
We don't spay or neuter our dogs in this book. Sorry, guys. All right, let's read the last one.
There's no mountains. There's no pie.
No pie.
There's no
pregnant dogs.
And you know what else is not in Kansas City? Never mind. I don't know. I was going to say no sex, but there wasn't any sex in Colorado either.
All right, let's talk about my favorite line.
All right, go for it.
Let's see. She, meaning Bree, this is Tanner thinking, of course. His inner monologue is always so hilarious. She had more locks on her emotions than Fort Knox. He planned to unlock every single one, picking a few if he needed to.
Okay, what does that mean, to pick a few of her locks?
Who knows?
See, exactly I was going to say that Tanner was not rapey like Simon in the previous one.
I don't know.
But picking
he's
her locks
eye rapey.
Sounds
he's always trying to get them
rapey.
Eyes, baby.
Because if I think
like,
about
look
it,
at me.
It sounds like a
look
chastity belt. Because that's what they said. She's never been with a dude before.
No,
she's never
been
even
touched.
Kissed.
Never been kissed.
She's like
never
fucking Josie Grossi. Yeah. Never been kissed. Yeah. And he's going to pick her locks? Like,
he wants to pick them locks, baby.
He's going to pick them locks. He's going to sex
in.
Them locks.
Mm-hmm. He wants them locks.
But maybe that's in the next book.
Yeah.
All right. So
can't wait to read it.
This is a part of the program where Sam will, well, she's supposed to.
Yep, it's here.
She's going to tell us some stuff that we missed.
It's just, no, it just talks about, it goes in depth to where Bree is as a hacker, what she does.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this one sentence on page 213 where it says, her fingers were already flying on the keyboard as he walked briskly out the door. Like, I'm sorry, just that one sentence, flying across the keyboard. Like, that's what hackers do. They just...
Do you even hack, bro?
Yeah. Yeah, dost thou hack?
They hack, and let me tell you, them fingers fly when you're hacking.
Fingers are flying.
Lots of finger flying, lots of typey-typey, lots of, I don't know, hacky shit.
All right, you don't get to talk anymore,
okay,
Sam.
Sorry. Oh, sorry, Sam. Not me. I still get to talk.
J.K., all right.
J.K. Rowling.
J.K.
Baby.
Rowling.
Harry a better book
Pot,
than this.
Welcome back to Pot Talk.
Yeah.
All right. So if this was a movie, if this was a Lifetime original,
I would. Yeah. Let's talk.
So
about
there's
it.
A few things. Liz, tell me who you wanted for Beale Steele. Creepy thin
for
man.
Beale Steele. Okay. Well, first I said Adrian Brody, but then when you brought to my attention that he was probably Hispanic because his real name was Chris Martinez. I thought Louis Guzman would be a good one for that.
Okay, of all Louis people Guzman? To play a creepy thin Louis man, Guzman? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's a little
Louis
bit,
Guzman.
There's only, yeah,
there's
not,
only one.
He's not tall.
What? All right, Mark, who's a creepy thin man?
Crispin Glover.
Is he?
Yeah,
okay.
But he's not Hispanic, though.
Well, all right, but you made a point that Martinez or Martinez
well,
doesn't
Adrian
necessarily
Brody, so
need to
work.
Be Hispanic.
Glover Crispin Glover's a little
all right,
on the old
so stuff. for middle school cop, Scott.
Oh,
I say Haley Joel Osment.
Who do you say, Mark?
Jesse Plemons. Isn't it? You know,
oh,
what's her
yeah.
friend?
Yeah, I can see that.
He
yeah.
has gotten a little
yeah,
chubby.
He's married to Kirsten Dunst. Yes. Okay, yeah.
yeah,
I can see that.
He has picked up
Jesse
a little bit
Plemons.
Of weight.
Yeah, he's a little chuckster.
Kirsten, put him on a diet.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Love you, Jesse.
Or
yeah,
Seth Rogen.
No.
He's too popular, I guess.
I say either Josh Gad, and if Josh Gad did it, he needs to sing show tunes the entire movie. That
the
would be
entire
awesome.
Movie.
The entire. Even when he's bad at the end and gets killed. Sorry. Or I could see Jack Black doing it. He's chubby.
Yeah.
And he's adorbs.
But he
star power mayo.
Yeah, star power. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't...
that's true. That's all true.
Right,
he's
so...
a little back beyond Elizabeth. Would Jack Black be on a Lifetime original movie?
No, but he was in
maybe
that dog shit movie called The Holiday with...
That was such a good movie.
Never
nah,
saw it.
That movie was terrible.
I love that movie.
Okay, what about Dan and Cheryl? I said...
Ooh, I have many choices.
Yeah, no,
this.
See, I said
several
it should
choices.
Be Reba McEntire... And the guy from Tremors.
Tremors.
Yeah.
And they're going to have an arsenal in the basement of the cafe.
Yeah, and they should play the same character. Yeah. We should change their name to whatever the character's names were
like,
from
bring
Tremors.
Bring him on, honey.
Yeah. Or it should be Kenan Thompson from SNL playing Reba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
I could do
never
that
mind.
Too.
All right. Who are you going to say?
Mark. For Dan and Cheryl.
I don't know. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, you're on board with that.
Yeah,
that's
a
pretty good one.
Well, when I was thinking about this, I saw an advertisement for whatever that sitcom is with Tim Allen and Nancy Travis, and
yeah,
I love them.
Okay.
So I said,
"Yeah,
that would be a good
I could
one."
I can see that.
Or maybe the parents from Everyone Loves Raymond, R.I.P. They'd have to come back to life. Sorry,
yeah.
So that probably wouldn't work. Or hear me out. Maybe Liam Neeson as Dan and Viola Davis as Mrs. A. It could work. This
diversity.
Book needs more color.
Yeah,
this
it does
definitely
need yeah,
more
this
color.
Very,
color.
This is a very white story.
Yes,
I feel
it needs
like.
More
yeah.
color. I've got lots of
yeah.
different
I feel like Risk
races.
Peak is like very close to Aspen.
Yeah.
It's just hella
risk
white.
Risk Peak, yeah. Like the risk is like.
Yeah, it's risky for black people to come into it. So what about Tanner and Bree? I really don't have a good choice.
All right, Tanner, if we're going to go traditional, I was thinking like Liam Hemsworth. But if we're going to do the re-envisioned Tanner, I would say Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire. But he has to be like Slumdog Millionaire looking. He can't be like...
So you think that Dev Patel owns a ranch with like horses and
uh-huh,
shit?
And my reimagined calculated
Mindy
risk.
Kaling is Bree.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking
she
Lupita.
She could pull it off.
Yeah, she
Lupita
could.
Lupita Nyong'o. Love her.
Yeah.
Love her. God, love her.
All right.
She
so,
would make this movie good.
In my totally racist view, I guess, maybe I was still thinking of white people.
Whitewashing this.
I know. See,
already
I actually think that
book.
Tad Hamilton or whatever, what's his name? Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
I think he would work as Tanner.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Brie, I really don't know. Like, I feel like she's like a
Rachel McCann.
Like a Florence Pugh, maybe? Like,
no,
from Midsummer?
Florence Pugh is way too...
You don't think
too...
so?
She's not going to slum it.
Well, no, I was about to say, it would other, be somebody who can very underact. I was thinking Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, but she's actually other...
I know,
I mean,
she's a good actress, but she could be... She could just re...
So what if it was like a Bell, home... What if it Bella, was homeboy from Twilight? What's his name?
Robert Pattinson? He's too good of an actor, too.
Though. Well, but she's pretty good.
I know.
Except for that... What did they do? The new Charlie's Angels?
Yeah,
like, why?
Yeah, she also makes some poor choices.
Okay, and then... All right, what about this? If we're talking about Lifetime original movies, what if it was Kirk Cameron as Tanner?
And sorry, but he was left behind.
It was like turned into...
I was
yeah.
about to say, that would you, change
you
the
turn,
whole
You turned it into a Jesus
movie.
Story.
Yeah.
Except in, the organization is the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see him doing Jeter.
Yeah, maybe Jeter.
Oh, let me tell you who I got for Jeter.
Who do you got for Jeter?
The biggest creep of all, Kevin Spacey.
No, he's not getting work for a long time.
I know he isn't, but he'd be so creepy and murdery.
Michael
he's
Rooker.
A,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Them accusers been
see,
down off.
I would think...
Who did you say, Mark?
Michael Rooker.
Yeah, you know.
Mary Poppins. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. Michael Rooker.
Yeah. He was in,
Henry
you know, Walking Dead. He was Dale's brother. Or what's the guy's name? The brother?
Oh,
in The Walking Dead.
The one who cut his hand off?
Yeah, the one who chopped his hand off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Merle.
See, Michael Jeter, I think of that guy who was like in RoboCop, like the rich guy in RoboCop.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I don't know his name. Or maybe the expensive guy from Ace Ventura, who is like, you know, they go to his party. Yeah, I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, he was also in Blade.
Yeah, he was in Blade.
He's cool. I like him. I'd go for that.
He has a great voice. Yeah. Or maybe it's Werner Herzog. Can you imagine Werner Herzog in this shitty movie? Yeah.
Does he act?
I wish I could do his voice. Yeah, he's in the fucking Mandalorian.
May I offer you a libation to celebrate the conclusion of our next shared narrative?
Yeah, that's like perfect.
Oh, I guess he did.
Mark, you can only do Werner Herzog voices from now on.
Thank you.
Now, hold on. Let me get you to read some lines in Werner Herzog.
Wait, what
voice.
About the most interesting character of them all?
The babies?
Melissa. Oh, I actually do have some ideas for the babies.
All right, so who's Melissa?
Melissa, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't care.
She can be whoever the fuck. I don't care.
You can just you can have one of those inflatables.
Yeah, wacky wavy inflatable arms flailing
man.
Melissa. Tube man. Yeah. What about the babies?
Oh, I don't want to insult little people, so I'm not gonna say.
You're gonna say Vern Troyer, I know.
Vern Troyer,
but he's rest
Peter
in peace.
Peter Dinklage. Those are the only two little people that I can
see.
Say
I was gonna say Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
Oh yeah, and then we said Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei.
I like
the other one.
Except I'm pretty sure Marissa Tomei is like normal size.
Oh yeah, she is. But
all right, well that has been Harlequin Bromance. We read Calculated Risk. We didn't even get into why the title of the book is titled that.
Yeah, there's lots we didn't get into.
Stupid, who gives a shit? Any final thoughts, social media, Mel?
Oh, I was just gonna say that you should follow us on Twitter at Harbro Podcast, Harlequin Bromance, and drop us some... I don't know, feedback, what you want us to read next time, whatever.
Mm-hmm, yes, and suggestions. If you have it, like,
we
want books with more sex,
yeah,
I think.
I had a friend
preferably on Audible.
Something.
Yeah, and preferably on Audible. Right? If it's on Audible and there's lots of boning, then let us know. Mark, you got any final thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to do a quick little shout out. We talked about this before, but I hadn't mentioned it. But so to the Chamblee class, high school class of 1965 and thereabouts, the author's mother's graduating class, thank you for letting her borrow your names.
She borrowed her names from... okay.
That explains it.
Brie didn't come from a cheese. I'm glad that we figured...
Damn,
sure. Liz, you got anything?
I don't want to talk about this or think about this book.
Well, I will
again.
Say I want to thank you for not being as funny in this one so that people won't like
welcome.
You as much
well,
as
I'm,
they like
I'm
me.
I'm sober this time. Sorry, guys.
So maybe next time Liz will
she
be more drunk.
This
yeah, she let me be funnier. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Liz.
Well, it was hard, but somebody had to do it.
Producer Sam, you got anything left?
Not really. I just want to say that I kind of want to read the next...
I kind of want to read the next book because it's supposed to be about how Tanner's demons come back.
Okay. So
that's
last
just me.
Last time, Liz was all about the last book and reading the next one in the series. And this week, Sam is going to follow up and read the next one. Me personally, I'm never going to read this stupid shit again. Join us next time. I don't know what we're going to read. I will let social media Mel know, and we will post it on the Twitters.
Tell them about iTunes.
And we are, what about iTunes?
We need to like and review us on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. If you are listening to this, then go to subscribe. iTunes and subscribe, or just subscribe wherever. And yeah,
like and review.
Like and review. Yeah. Unless you got a shitty review, then leave us alone because
we're
on Spotify. All right.
If you don't like the show, lie.
Yeah, just pretend like you liked it. Pretend that it was funny. And that's it. Thank y'all. Until next time. It was Fogey, Mark, and Liz. Y'all take care. See you, Mark.
Night.
Bye.